Welcome to I'll Marry You, a podcast with me, Olivia Colman, full of tips and tricks from the UK wedding scene, interviews with industry experts, and a whole lot of oversharing. So, today at the I'll Marry You podcast headquarters, we've got three little special guests, and we're going to go around in a circle, and you're going to say your name and how old you are, okay? You first.
My name is Lola, and I'm four.
You next.
My name is Wanted, I'm four.
You're next.
My name is Beau, and I'm seven.
Okay, so do you guys know what I do for a job?
No.
Rude. Do you know what I do, Lola?
Yes.
What do I do?
It's because you do podcasts and you talk to someone when you get married.
Yeah, so I marry people. Are you going to get married one day?
Yes.
Are you? Who are you going to marry?
Amar.
Lucky lady.
And I'm going to marry...
Who are you going to marry?
Alex.
Alex, tidy. Beau, who are you going to marry?
No one.
If you could get married on a beach, in a wood, or in the middle of London, where would you get married?
In a beach.
In a beach?
In a beach.
Beach?
A woods.
A woods. And would you have like a really big wedding with a big party? Or would it
yes!
Be like...
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, all right. No,
very
you
small. Yeah. Very
small. Why would it be such a small wedding?
Because I'm not getting married.
Why aren't you getting married?
Because I said so.
But why?
Because I don't want to.
Why?
Because I said so.
Why?
Because I want... I don't want to. Yeah.
Okay. I think those are all the wedding questions I have. Do you have anything else to add to the listeners?
Yes.
What would you like to tell them?
Because we have to do something for your wedding to make a podcast.
Okay. Monty, anything else?
I love race cars.
You love race cars? Beau, anything else to add?
Yeah, farts?
Absolutely outrageous. Don't know who yeah is. Okay, so on three, you're going to say, tune in to the I'll Marry You podcast. Ready? One, two, three.
Tune in to the I'll Marry You podcast.
I didn't
say it. Now say, peace.
Peace.
And I mean, the good thing is, like, when you book activities as a group, separately, quite often you have to pay a deposit down with the activity provider.
Yeah.
And then if you get pushback on the group or you want to change the time, it becomes really difficult. Whereas
yes.
With us, you pay like that one deposit initially, and then your guests will pay their deposit to secure their place within normally 4 weeks, unless you have something like a self-catering property that requires it.
So let's discuss the logistics.
Sure.
So we've made up my... Fuck, Jen. We've made up my perfect hen do.
Yeah, wine and cheese everywhere.
Wine and cheese, spotty botty. Archery in the woods.
A
blowing
game of chess.
Glass. Yes. And a game of strip dinner.
Strip dinner.
We're having noodles. We're eating noodles naked. And I say, right, perfect. It's going to be... How far in advance do people normally book?
I mean, it depends. Most hens are about 6 to 8 months in advance.
And is it normally always summertime?
Well, we kind of come a bit earlier, actually. So we'll start to pick up on our busy time around February, mm-hmm. March, April. May is our peak month, because then obviously the weddings
summer
start
weddings.
Coming in June, July, August.
Yeah.
And then we'll keep going normally until about August. And then when it comes to the kind of the school holidays and end of wedding season and or like the peak of the wedding season, we'll start to tail off massively. And
then
you'll get a couple around Christmas time, but a lot of people have got other things going on, and then we'll start to pick up again around February. So it's very seasonal, obviously, a bit like the wedding industry.
Well, yeah.
But kind of just before you guys.
Technically, maybe, but not, you know. So let's say then, okay, so I'm getting married in September. My hen is in May.
Yeah.
There's 8 of us coming. We're going to Bath for the weekend.
Yeah.
How much money do I owe you?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you're having
let's say it's £200 per person.
Perfect. So when you book with us, normally you will pay an initial deposit of £50 to secure everything as the lead organiser.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Just the one £50.
Just the one £50.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. And
very
sometimes
good, aren't you?
If you get it at the right time, there'll be an offer on and you can get
really?
It for 20.
We love an offer.
And then once you've done that, that will then kickstart the process of us booking everything in for you. So then you do everything. We do everything. So it all gets booked in.
So we just had this wonderful chat. I give you £50 and then you do all the hard work.
Exactly.
Bloody brilliant.
Lovely. And then you'll get a little confirmation. It'll tell you everything on it that you've got booked.
Yeah.
For your £50. It'll tell you your deadlines for when you need to make the deposit payment and the balance payment, and it'll give you a link. You send that link to your group. They sign up. Once they've signed up, you sit back because we chase them for everything. So we'll remind them when their deposit's due. We'll remind them when their balance is due. will remind them of kind of.
Okay, and what happens if people drop out? Because people always drop out, and it's the pits.
It is the pits.
Because you've come up with an idea and you've got a budget, and that budget fluctuates depending on guest numbers, surely.
Absolutely.
So what do you do about that?
I mean, it depends on I would always encourage that you book for your maximum group size, because then you know that if everybody said yes, you've got a space for everyone. The worst thing in the world is that everybody says yes and you didn't book for that many people and you can't add them.
Of course, then you've
got
to pick the one you like the least.
Then you've got to pick the one you like the least and boot them off.
The most boring Karen.
Yeah, who would that be?
Wouldn't be me.
Wouldn't be me either.
No. It'd be Drew. Drew can just go play archery on his own.
Yeah, yeah.
Go play chess. He can blow glass on his own.
Exactly. So, and then normally you'll have your booking will be based on a minimum number. So depending on what you've picked in your package will depend on that. So if you're going to somewhere like Liverpool, quite often our bookings will just be based on a minimum of 10 or a minimum of 8.
What's the average number of guests at a hen?
14.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Have you ever had one for like 2 or 3?
I've had a 4. Mm-hmm. I've had a 4. But then it becomes, because you're getting into such a small group size, it becomes where we access group rates, you can't access them as well. So it becomes, we'll often advise you to kind of go direct because it'll be better for you.
Yeah.
The biggest I've ever done is 60.
Shut up.
Yeah.
60 people at a hen do. That's absolutely absurd.
I don't think I'd even have 60 at my wedding.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy, isn't it?
What? Explain that to me.
I don't know how to. I don't know that many
Where
people.
Where did they go?
They went to Liverpool, I think it was. Yeah.
60.
They took up a whole set of apartments by themselves. A whole apartment block.
No, I think that's absolutely ridiculous.
It was outrageous.
That is totally excessive.
It was excessive.
Unnecessary.
Well, yeah.
Stupid woman.
I'm just a bit jealous she had that many friends.
I hope she doesn't live in Hull, and we're really screwed, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's absurd.
It was crazy, and I remember she had a wine and cheese tasting booked in, and she
that's enough cheese, Ellie.
There's not. I had to get 4 or 5 different people.
A whole wheel of cheese.
just the whole of Cheddar Gorge turns up. So we had to get she had, I think, 10 apartments. So we had to get like one person for each apartment so they could split into groups. And it becomes, at that point, you're kind of having a collective separate experience because there's so many
of
you. You can't all be in one space. It'd be insane.
That's pointless.
Yeah, it kind of does get to that point. I was like, maybe split it into 2 or 3.
Did the bride or the maid of honor, did she explain why there were 60 of them?
I think she just said that the bride's really popular.
No, like, I'm sorry. No. No, I'm incredibly popular. And I could definitely whittle it down to 10, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
Probably less.
I'd start to cull. I'd be like, I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to stop being an arse to everyone.
Well, I think as you get older as well, because actually that's an interesting. What's the average age?
It depends. I mean, I've done Hindus for, I mean, the average age is 26 to 34, I'd say. Yeah. Mm. It's kind of the average. I mean, Steph is 26.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's about the average age that people start thinking about that sort of thing.
Do you find that with the age ranges of the bride, does it then dictate a lot of the style of the hen do?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you'll find the people that are in their kind of mid to late 20s, they're much more likely to be looking at like partying and going out. And then the people that are in their early 30s are
like
much
me,
more likely.
Wine and cheese.
Yeah, me, wine and cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's the wine and cheese women that get the most drunk.
It is. And they say the most obscene things. I love it.
Yes, just like you and I.
Yeah.
We're not even drunk.
We are the wine and cheese people.
Do you think that it's changed since this company started or since you started, even in the last 5 years, it's changed for what people want?
Hugely.
From a hen.
Yeah, I think the pandemic changed a lot of people's perspectives. And we have a lot of things that we have as an industry to go up against that are difficult. So the pandemic obviously being one of those, because not only were we in travel, but we were in group travel.
Surely you were out of business for
a long time, yeah. And then it was navigating all of the different restrictions in the 80 different places that we do.
What a nightmare.
It was a nightmare, because then you have Scotland was like rule of 6 from 3 households, but Cardiff was, or Wales was rule of 6 from 2 households. And then England was like, you can have this many people from 1 household, and then you can have a bubble. And it was like, people were calling me and going, what am I doing? And I was like, well, this week it's this.
But luckily, you're very well read.
Thank you. But by the time you get to your event, I don't know.
That's true, because it all changed at the drop of a hat.
It did. Every day it was different. Every week it was different. And then you've got, you know, advice for different international countries, and some are letting people, some are green and some are red and some are orange. And you're,
so during that then, and I imagine now, do you as a group, do you cover things like cancelled flights and lots of accommodation or
so
stuff
we don't,
like, is there insurance?
We don't do flights because we're a tour operator, so we don't do flights. We deal with the on the ground
right.
elements.
Not in the air.
Not in the air.
No.
But we have kind of, we're ABTA bonded, which
like
means ABTA, which is the Association of British Travel Agents.
Wonderful.
Which is something you should always look for if you're going to ever book a holiday.
ABTA.
ABTA, yeah.
Okay.
Because if anything happens to our company,
right,
which never used to be a thought, but, you know, in the pandemic, you never knew.
Yeah.
We're indemnified. So essentially, if we go under, ABTA will still refund all of our customers.
Yeah.
Not that we're going to, because we're, you know, we're
incredibly
established.
Yeah.
But it means that your money is protected, so that you have that second layer of protection. However, if there's anything that we can't deliver, or say something goes wrong and the event gets cancelled on the day or close by, then the customer's, of course, entitled to.
Have you ever
it.
Had someone cancel at last minute because the wedding's not going ahead?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have.
Drama.
Yeah, you get some interesting. I mean, about 10% of weddings get cancelled, I believe, is the normal
really?
Kind of stat. So, That lines up with the hen industry as well. You tend to get about 10% of weddings getting cancelled. They're normally cancelled.
What do you do? You're like, I'm just so sorry, but I'm keeping your money. Spotty Botty's already shaved, so.
Spotty Botty has already shaved.
Yeah.
It depends how close you are. I mean, it's very, I don't think I've ever had it where somebody's cancelled, you know, the week of that event or within the 28 days of the event.
Yeah.
I think that's really incredibly rare, because by that point they've gone so far.
Wow.
Well.
You never know.
You
don't.
Never know.
Have you ever had someone go on the hen even though the wedding isn't going ahead?
Oh, yes. We had some absolute queens do that before, where they've gone.
Really?
I've had the lead organizer call me up, and then the bride goes, well, I found him cheating. And I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. And she went, well, I'm still going anyway. And they went and had a girls' weekend.
Live for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely
loved it.
Live for
loved
that.
Loved it. I think they took his mother as well.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope she shagged the stripper.
I hope she did
on
too.
On a full stomach.
Yeah, on a full curry.
After dinner. Oh my God, that's amazing.
I loved it. And we've had people that have done it before where they've had divorce parties. So they've booked
So it's
us.
Not just Hindus?
No, I mean, we are predominantly Hindus, but we get...
Girls trips.
We get birthday parties, you know, 50th birthday parties, 40th birthday parties, big birthdays we get. Divorce parties.
Yeah, well, it's the next step. So I organised last year a friend-do.
A friend-do.
Have you ever heard that phrase?
I love it.
I made it up. Tell people.
I will tell
You're
people.
Young, Lottie, in charge of social media. Tell people.
Make
friend-do.
It a buzzword.
Friend-do. Because me and my friend were talking ages ago, and I was like, why do... A hen-do for me is an opportunity to get away from the men or the women, to get away from your partners,
yeah,
and to be with your best friends and have the best time doing whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And I thought, why should that only be when you are getting married?
Well,
you should
couldn't.
Celebrate each other. So I got together a random bunch of women and we hired a house in Bruton.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And I said to them, like, literally do whatever you want to do. It's two nights. If you want to go for a walk, if you want to go drinking at 10 a.m, if you want to go shopping, like, do whatever you want to do. It's our weekend to do it. Read, work, like, whatever you want to do. And it was so much fun. The girls loved it.
Love that. I think I think more people should do that. I think there's
lads
so much.
Lads have lads weekends. Drew has lads weekends.
Do you have lads weekends, Drew?
Yeah.
Yes, but we play Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh,
yeah,
I,
they're not
I like
sexy ones, but they're
Dragons.
Still really good. But I think that's really important to have, like, time with just you and your mates.
I think so too. I think it's a relationship like any other friendship, and you should nurture it.
Yeah, work on it.
You should.
With cheese and wine and Dungeons and Dragons.
And oversharing.
It is interesting though, because, like, my wife will go away for a weekend to see a friend.
Yeah.
But when I go away for a weekend, it's when we can get all of my friends
together. What are you saying? She should go on a friend do?
Yeah.
Well, I love Em, so I'll invite her on my next one.
Obviously, I'm looking at a very localised example, but it does seem like it's more of a bloke thing.
Yeah.
Oh, get everyone
together. Lads, lads,
get
lads.
Get the team. So yeah, I think you're on something.
Thank you very much, like, friend do. Make it happen.
Yeah, I think we should make that call.
I think you should have a whole section for friend do.
A whole section for friend.
Yes.
I love
it. Add it to your website. What's his name? Simon.
Go friend.
Simon. Steve.
Go friend.
Steve. Go friend. Steve. But I just, that's what I think a hen do should be about.
I agree. I think it's like, you know, obviously it's about the bride first and foremost because it's,
yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's massive
so,
for her.
But what do you do? Right. Okay. So this hen party I went to, and I don't know if this person listens. This is the cereal box hen party.
Oh, the cereal box.
But she is still, to this day, one of my best friends. She was only one of my three bridesmaids. She's one of my favourite people in the entire world. I adore her. But actually, there are a lot of differences with us, right? So her hen do, I didn't know many people. There was like me and two others that are old friends, like school friends. And then everyone else was like, you say, like work, netball, league, like all different people. And they were all so lovely, but quite different.
Yep.
And the bride really likes Harry Potter. Power to her. I love her. I'm not that fussed about Harry Potter. So when they started playing a Harry Potter trivia game after dinner, I'm not going to lie to you, I grabbed a bottle of alcohol. I, at the time, smoked, so I grabbed a packet of fags. I just went outside and made some calls.
I love it.
And, like, I don't know if she actually, I think she must know I did that. But it was just, like, to me, I was like, okay, this is not, like, that to me was organised fun. Like, yeah. This is not my vibe. I don't want to be here. I'm not going to be rude, but I'm just going to take myself away for half an hour, you know, catch up on my correspondence. Get drunk on my own outside.
Yeah, love it.
It's, and then the next day we did something that was equally nothing that I would have chosen to do. We did like, we made, I just can't remember, there's pottery or clay involved or something. But actually I got into it and it was really fun. So how do you do that? Because you are going to have people from all different parts of that person's life that like different things. You're going to have the loud one, the quiet one, the rich one, the poor one, the boozy one, the sober one. Like, how do you please everyone? You can't.
Well, I mean, you can't. But the good thing that you can do when we're making a package event is that if there's something that somebody doesn't like, they don't have to attend it.
Yes. Key.
So we can make a price just for them without that activity in it.
Oh, okay.
So they can just pay for what they want to attend rather than having to do everything. So then that bit of time in the day, because you'll get as well people that will do a full weekend, but somebody's can't get childcare or can't get the time off work, or especially if, you know, they work for like the NHS or somewhere like that.
And you work out all that logistical stuff.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. So and would you go straight to that guest or would you go through the maid of honour?
It always goes through the maid of honour because it just avoids, well, first of all, they hold they're in charge of the booking. That's,
yeah, okay.
You know, we wouldn't want to go to a guest and undermine anything that they've said. And also you can get a lot of people with lots of input.
Yeah,
easier just to have
too many cooks.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, the maid of honor is the maid of honor for a reason, right?
She's a bossy bitch.
So let's talk to her, otherwise she's most terrifying.
Well, no, that's exactly it. Talk to me about your VIP section.
Oh, sure. What would you like to know? Would you like
how
to
do
know?
I get into it?
Oh, there's an app. There's an app. Yeah.
A Go Hen app.
A little groupier app, yeah.
How fun. What does it involve? Is it just where you can see only your stuff?
So if you're a guest, you can see a minimal amount of stuff. But if you're the lead organiser.
Yes, the creme de la creme.
The creme de la creme. You can see where everyone's got to with their payments because they can pay in little bits as well. They don't have to pay it all in one go.
That's good.
So they can pay, you know, if they're going in a few months' time or in a year's time, they can pay it off at like £20 a month.
That's good.
And it's so much better for people when you've got varying budgets and you've got, because you've settled on this price, but there are people with different kind of incomes. Some people will just pay it off straight away and that they have that kind of disposable income to do that. And some people don't.
Because also with the age range, you'll find, I'm sure you have found this, that, and Lottie, you'll find this when you're older than 12, is that you have a period of your life where all of your friends are getting married. Oh. So you're going on like six hen do's in one summer. And it's...
I'm bridesmaid this year, it's my best friend. And it's blowing my mind. She's a year younger than me as well.
God.
19.
Who's marrying
her? She's born in 2000.
Who's marrying her? Am I marrying her? What's going on here?
I don't know.
Why am I here if not to promote myself?
Well, exactly.
But then it gets expensive. It's like going to weddings is expensive.
Oh, crazy expensive.
Yeah.
It becomes... that's your whole holiday budget.
And there's always... Absolutely. Your holiday budget, your extra expenses, the travel, the cost, the hair, the makeup, the dress, the hen. It's so expensive. I resent spending money.
Yeah, I mean...
Full stop.
Yeah, full stop.
On anything.
Unless it's that extra £2 you got off your dad for that gift.
Well, yes, but as you say, it's service charge.
Service charge.
Interest. I charge interest. It's a real minefield. You organise all the logistics, which takes off a huge, huge stress. But you don't organise, am I right in thinking, you don't organise things like food and drink?
We can do food and drink. So we do offer meals and things. But you can't do, if it's things like supermarket deliveries where you're getting things like that. I mean.
You don't do that.
We don't do that because it's so variable in rates. You can find better deals, but we can help. We can certainly, you know.
What about decorations?
Yeah, we get a lot. We have a little shop on our
do you
VIP area, yeah.
Fun. What's on there? What's the most popular? Do people still, I was going to say drink from dick, but that's not the right phrase.
I love it.
Willy straws.
Do that. Drink from dick. They do. They do still do that.
Do
they? Yeah, people do.
Oh, I do. You know when people are like, oh my God, don't come near me with a penis straw. I'm like, that is so, I like so tacky. It's fabulous.
Yeah, I think that's it's great. Like. You've got to lean into it. Like if you're going to do it, lean into the
penis.
Yeah.
People do like the decorations?
People do love the decorations. And we're finding that.
Do they have themes?
Absolutely. There was like rodeo themes are huge now because of the new Beyonce song.
Of course.
Of course.
Absolute chew.
Absolute chew.
I tried to learn the dance routine the other day from that TikTok, you know. Couldn't do it.
I've never been successful in a dance routine on a TikTok.
I just couldn't. I gave up.
It's really humbling.
I look like the person that ate Beyonce and then did her dance routine. I don't know if I would put my whole hen party theme on a song, though.
No, and we
have Barbie.
Barbie is, yeah, that became a big thing. That's still quite big, isn't it? Disco, like a cool last disco. That's always a good one. R.I.P. Yeah,
R.I.P. Yes, funeral. Till death do us party.
So we have, like, on our shop, there's loads of cool things on there anyway, but... you can get all your decorations, you can get all your kind of like regalia.
Sashes,
jumpers.
Oh, I die!
The whole thing.
I hate fancy dress.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know it's weird because I've got a degree in acting, but I hate fancy dress. I once I've got better, to be fair. I used to, my friend used to have fancy dress parties every year, and she had one once that was circus themed, and I went looking absolutely gorgeous, and they were like, who are you? I was like, I'm the person that owns the circus.
Love it.
That's why I just look wealthy.
CEO.
It makes me really uncomfortable, fancy dress.
Really?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm incredibly insecure.
Oh. Well, there you go. I mean...
Tumbleweed.
I mean...
Do people really dress up?
Some people do. I mean, we get some really cool ones that come through and they put like a whole theme on. Quite often people will go out and it'll be like the bride is in white.
Yeah.
Because she's got to look, you know, fabulous.
So everyone wears black and she wears white.
Yeah.
Or like sequins or pink or...
Yeah, all of those things.
A gentle theme I can handle.
It's again the organised fun thing, isn't it? You don't like to be put in a box.
Oh my God, I feel so seen. Like Ellie's like my therapist. No, I don't know. I find it uncomfortable.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Do you know what I think it was? It's because when I was at boarding school, we had house parties every term, and it would always be something. You'd have to be something sexy. So it was like Barbie and Ken, and everyone was like beach Barbie, schoolgirl Barbie. I went as racing driver Barbie.
Love it.
I put on my dad's overalls as his helmet. I looked like someone who'd landed on the moon. I was like, I'm not having it because I was always really chunky. So I was like, I'm not going to be sexy anything.
One time, at the end of the year at sixth form in the school I went to, it was your responsibility as the leavers to dress up on the last day.
Your responsibility.
Yeah, it was a requirement for you to dress up on the last day in fancy dress. It was like a school tradition or whatever it was. And... obviously, we were sort of 16 and all of the girls took it. It was like that Mean Girls thing, you know, where they were in like basically underwear and a set of ears. And I went as one half of the Titanic.
Which half?
The front half.
Oh my God, Drew, I think Ellie's me.
I made it out of chicken wire. It took me weeks.
Stop it now. That is sensational.
It had tiny people on it. There was a tiny...
Stop it. Have you got a picture? One.
I don't know if I have. I'm going to have to find my phone and see if I've got one.
I need to see a picture of that.
It was from when I was 16. That is incredible. Yeah, it was good. It was one of my finest moments, I think.
Oh, my God. But I imagine that stags the fancy dress themes for stags is a lot different to the ones of hens. Because I do find, and I do actually would be interested in doing a thing about the stags, because that's a whole different ballgame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because in my opinion, Drew can tell me, but in my opinion, generally speaking, hens are, we're all friends, we're all together, we're here to celebrate this woman that we all love and have a brilliant time.
Yeah.
Whereas stags are like, right, fucking go, make him look like a twat.
Yeah.
It's not nice, Drew.
Chain him to a lamppost.
Yeah. Don't you think, though?
Yeah, it's... my kind of experience with it is that the recent stags have been very much, we've gone to a country house, or hung out, maybe gone to a beer festival.
I was literally about to say that.
Yeah, that sounds good, actually. I could do that.
That's
yeah.
How it's changing.
Yeah, and but then with mine, which was seven...
No, more
seven
than that.
Years ago. I had a very, very standard, like, we went to Bristol, we went out for a drink, we went to an event place where we got to fire five rounds from a rifle, throw an axe at something, and then do paintballing. And then we went drinking again, and they made me dress up as a wizard.
I have noticed that there is a huge shift now in stags as well. Like, there's a lot more... I don't know if it's that men are starting to be nicer to one another, or people are actually starting to talk a bit more. And, you know, there's been a lot of push about men communicating with one another, and it's kind of showing in trends, because you're seeing now that a lot more people are going for things that the stag actually wants to do, which is like a country house, a beer tour, like those kind of things, rather than like, let's dress him up as a woman and parade him
around. A beer tour
sounds
fun. Yeah. I feel like that would be more fun than wine tasting.
I feel like a beer tour is great. I mean, the bikes.
Oh, is that good?
So
is that really
fun.
Good? What are the three most popular activities that you do?
Bottomless brunch, obviously.
I've never been to one.
Stop it. We're going soon.
As a team, can you like adopt me for a bottomless brunch?
Yeah, we're going on like
can
the
you believe
April.
That? Oh my God, I'm there. I've got a wedding that day. Fuck it. I'll just come.
Yeah. Do it.
I've never ever, and I because I'm so cheap, like financially, I will drink that shit dry. Give me 2 hours, all you can drink, mama. Don't test me.
Yeah, and especially because a lot of people go on for the cocktails.
Yeah,
you know, I don't judge you for that. Love it. Love a cocktail myself. Yeah. However, you tell me there's unlimited prosecco. That doesn't require any preparation. Just bring it over.
Yeah,
done.
Quicker.
I will, quicker.
Straight to the horse's mouth.
Straight, just leave the bottle.
Yeah, and walk away.
Yeah, exactly.
Bottomless brunch, I think it's a brilliant idea. What else?
Bottomless brunch, cocktail mixing is huge. It's always been a huge thing, yeah. It's a good icebreaker.
Yeah, I suppose that is, yeah.
And that's always a popular one. Life drawing is huge.
Well, quite.
Quite.
If it's a hen do, do they always draw men?
Yes, pretty much.
Even if it's a gay hen do?
If it's a gay hen do, they can request women. You can do that.
I would rather draw a woman.
I think I would rather draw a woman as well.
Because they've just got more to them, haven't they? More curves.
They have.
Get a bit more shading in there.
You can definitely get more shading in there. It's a finer form.
What are the weirdest activities that you do?
Oh, blimey. There is a lot of weird activities that we do. I would say...
Or like the ones that are like oddly popular that you're like, really? Oh, you want to do that?
Pimp my penis.
Beg your pardon? Beg your pardon?
That's all.
Whose penis are we pimping?
Well, it's...
I don't know why. I literally just like, I felt the need to clench my legs together then.
Yeah.
Like I myself had a penis that was about to be pimped.
Well, yes.
I felt unsafe.
In your environment.
Yeah, in my environment. Talk me through this.
So it's an activity.
Uh-huh.
You know, you love organized fun.
I do.
And you do get your own penis.
Great.
To create however you wish.
Uh-huh.
In any way. So you can bedazzle it or pedazzle it.
What is this penis made of?
Normally resin. You can put a flower in the top.
Is it?
It's a keepsake. Don't be silly.
Is it shaped on the groom's penis?
No, it's just a bog standard penis, but quite huge, because you could fit quite a few flowers in there.
You want like a hot, not like a daffodil bunch. You want like some hydrangeas in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're going to go for it, you might as well. And then
Are the balls there?
The balls are there.
Well, because of course the end of the shaft has to rest on the scrotum.
Correct. helps. It creates a good base for the vase.
I love this organized fun.
Otherwise, it would be top heavy.
We don't want that.
We don't want. You don't want a top heavy.
Okay.
Situation.
I want paper.
So you take
penis.
That. It's a keepsake for you to take home. And
I mean, okay, that is fun. And can we drink while we do it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm doing that.
It's frankly encouraged.
I would say that's not weird. Give me a weird activity.
Oh, blimey! I don't.
I read one on your website that I thought was weird.
Go on.
Something to do with sheep.
Oh, sheep herding.
Yeah, that's weird, babe.
Oh, I think that's quite wholesome. But
do
yeah.
you? Although, do you know what? So I read sheep herding, and I was like. What the actual, and then I thought that would be absolutely hilarious.
Can you imagine?
Especially if you had like loads of city girls.
Exactly.
That would be very, very funny.
Exactly, because we haven't even done glamping yet, and that's...
Oh, is that popular?
Oh, it's huge.
Oh, really?
We created Henfest.
Yes, I saw that on your website. Talk to me about Henfest.
Well, it's something we established, so we own the brand Henfest. And it's essentially your own mini festival.
Love that.
Which is amazing. So you hire your own glam site. We normally have live music. You can have flower crown workshops, so you can all make your own flower crown. You have a live band in the evening. You have barbecue chefs. You have silent discos if you want them. Anything that you want, really. But it's your own festival of you.
How fab.
It's amazing.
Do you make little bands?
You can make little bands. You can buy them. You can get them. You can get them personalized. You can get little bands and little tickets.
How fun. Because people quite often do festival themed weddings as well.
They do. And I think it's a huge thing for kind of people in the summer as well.
Yeah.
Like, and people that want to get away a bit, but you can get these incredible glamp sites with hot tubs and open fire pits, yeah. And it's just insane. And some of them have like safari tents that are basically like houses. It's incredible. And you've just got this whole site to yourself where you can make a bit of noise. You're not inconveniencing anyone. There's nobody else around. You're just having your own festival.
Do you know, I've not camped much. Hard to believe, I know. But one of my favorite memories of camping is when you break wind, and because it sounds like everyone's next door to you, so you break wind and someone hears you from like 10 miles away. They're 10 miles away, but they still hear you fart.
Oh, that's part of the
isn't
game?
It so yeah. fun? And it's like, I remember I was camping with my family once, and we were all in different tents next to each other, me and my older brother, then my younger brother, and then my parents. And one of us farted, and we spent 10 minutes trying to work out who it was.
This is it. This is the...
Because everyone sounds so close.
Exactly. So you do the live band, and then you do the find the fart.
Yeah, see, glamping isn't my thing. But again, if it's their thing, you get on board, don't you? I think a lot of Hindus, the key to a successful Hindu is the spirit of the people going.
I agree. And I think if everybody's focused on the fact that it's about the bride and what she wants, and it's about coming together as a group of friends, you can kind of face anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
Do you charge for what you do?
Well, no, because we access group discounts. So we normally tend to charge public rate. Based on
so
the
I'm not actually I'm not spending more money by coming to you.
No, in fact, often you're spending less.
Why doesn't everyone come to you?
Well, I don't know.
Does everyone come to you?
Well, we get a huge amount of people, but I think more everyone should come to us. Really,
but that makes absolutely. Why wouldn't they?
Well, exactly, and also everybody's got such a busy life.
Because I thought you were going to be like, oh, and actually, like right at the end of this whole wonderful bonding experience we've shared, you'd be like, and it's 10% on top, babe.
No,
like you can do one.
No, exactly.
So that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we essentially...
So there's no, you know, no... What's that thing that lawyers on the telly say? No win, no fee.
No win, no fee, exactly.
You're like that, aren't you?
I mean, and it's like you get your own event manager. So we have a team in my events team. So you met Steph, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's six of us in total that handle all of the bookings across the UK and international. And you have a dedicated point of contact, and we have a little message system, so you can message us or you can give us a call, babes. We'll have a chat with you.
How wonderful. I think everyone should come to you.
I agree. We make great friends out of it as well, because it's so nice to see, like, when you've started the journey with someone and they're super nervous and they don't know what they're doing, and they really, everybody just wants to get it right because they care about the person so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They just want to get it right. And then when they get all the way through and you kind of hold their hand and help with it, like alleviate any of their worries, and you give them all the information they need, we build their full itinerary so they can just look at it and be like, right, I just need to do that. And then when they come back and they've had a great time and we get all the photos through, and it's just like, it's the most wholesome experience.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, oh, this is great. I'm so glad you had such a good time.
Well, it's a huge, actually, it's a huge milestone in someone's life, I think.
Huge milestone. Yeah. And it's a huge pressure on the person organising
People
it.
Get engaged, and then quite often, the second they get engaged, it's like, oh, what are we doing for the hen?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Isn't that funny? Isn't it? People, as soon as I'm engaged, it's not like, oh my God, tell me about the wedding. It's like, oh my God, what are we doing for the hen? And then it's really awkward when they're not invited. Yeah. Calm down, Karen, because you're not coming.
Yeah. What are we doing? You mean, what am I doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of pressure. And you don't want to mess it up. You'd want it to be
You
lovely.
Don't
want to
mess it up. And it's like, I understand, especially if you have all of the things that are going on in life at the moment that you have to worry about anyway, because the world is, you know, stressful at times. That's another stress that you don't want to mess up. So having somebody there that's knowledgeable in the industry, that knows the venues, that knows the products, and that knows
yes,
the journey.
Yes, that's key. You're like word of mouth, aren't you? You can't beat someone who actually knows, because there's so much out there. There's so much choice. So to come to you and to be like, right, okay. And what you've done now for me, what you've done, Ellie, for me here today, is you've converted me.
Fabulous.
And what you've done very brilliantly and quite subtly, I might say, is that you've listened, I feel like very quickly got to know me, and you've described something that I would enjoy doing.
That's the point of my job. That's what we do, though. That's what I want to do, though, because it's not the point of my job. It's the point of your event, to do what you want. You know, it's the important bit is that you come out of it having a great time. I don't want to just give you something that you're not going to enjoy, because what's that going to do for you, and what's that going to do for us as well?
Do you enjoy your job?
I love it. I love it. I didn't ever think I'd be in a job like this, but it's very satisfying.
I feel like we should end on a song. Did you ever know? Oh my God, the echo in this place. You're
the acoustics.
My hero. Is there karaoke in Bath?
Absolutely. There's multiples.
Can
we did,
I come
you did
out
one the
you?
Other week.
Can
didn't
I come
you?
Out with you?
Yeah, you can.
Jane, let's go out with them.
Yeah, let's do that. We did one. You did one the other week.
Oh, so good.
At Roban.
They had cocktails. This big a porn star. Literally more than your head.
Porn star martini, not a porn star.
Yeah, sorry. A porn star bigger than your head. Wonderful.
And then another one came like a disco ball.
Where was this?
Roban.
Where's that?
George Street.
Oh. Huh. Yeah.
And they have the big karaoke room, and it's like they do Japanese food. Oh, great.
Whole package.
Fucking great.
We
would love that.
It was brilliant.
Drew and I performed together once at an open open mic night. What did we say? Michael Bublé? No. Is it Michael Bublé?
Oh, Steph would love that. Steph is a huge Bublé fan.
So are we.
Baby, you've got what it takes.
So you go, see? He's very good. He's got many talents, Drew.
That is. I don't know why you didn't do karaoke on your stag do.
Because he was too busy.
Listen, if you'd have gone to Snagger, we would have told you.
Yes, if you'd gone to Go Hen, they would have organised the whole thing. I'm obsessed. I'm in love with you. I think it's wonderful.
I think I feel the same about you.
That's excellent. Let's end on that. Quick, cut it off, Drew. Cut it off. She loves me. The end.
Let's end it.
My hen party is planned. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're so welcome.
I think it's wonderful what you do. At the end of the day, it's an incredible stressful experience getting married and organising a hen, a wedding, everything else, and you're taking away some of that stress.
Well, yeah, that's the point. It's just to help you out a little bit.
No win, no fee.
No win, no fee.
So I just got the most glorious DM last week from Lucy. So thank you so much, darling, for getting in touch. Lucy writes, "Hi, Olivia, I hope you're well. I thought you might like to know that there is someone out there that listens to your podcast." She did then put a laughing, crying emoji. Jokes aside, I found your podcast a while back and I liked having it on in the background, especially when I was having a bit of a crap day and wanted something comforting to listen to. That's going to make me cry. I am engaged right now. I'm not a total nutter. I'm planning a very low-key wedding as I can't be arsed with the life admin / stress of a big wedding. And I hadn't planned to go big with my dress either, wanting to keep everything simple. However, I absolutely loved your episode with the creator of The Full Bride, and it totally inspired me to go bridal gown shopping, as I loved everything about her approach and ethos. And it was also super helpful to understand about the costs involved with bridal gown production and fittings, etc. So I wanted to say a huge thank you, as I wouldn't have gone without your podcast. I tell you, I'm tired today, so I could cry. Oh, Lucy, that is so
gorgeous. I can't even tell you how much that means to me to get that message. Thank you so much. And I hear you. It's a lot of admin and a lot of stress planning a big wedding. So you do you, babe. I want to know, I want to follow up. I want to follow up DM, Lucy. I want to know if you've been gown shopping, where you went, how did you get on? Tell me everything. Tell me everything about your day. I don't care if it's small. I still want to know all the juicy deets. And I'm so, so pleased that you're enjoying the podcast. And as awfully corny and sort of cheesy as it might sound, people, whenever people say to me, like, how's the podcast going? I always explain, and I've said this to you all before, I don't know. I don't know because producer Drew doesn't tell me because I don't want to know, right? So I don't want to know if one person listens to it or a million people listen to it. I don't want to know because I just do it for fun and I do it genuinely. I know I sound a bit twatty, but genuinely I do it on the off chance that just one person listens to it and it makes them smile or it helps them in some way. So just the fact that I know, no matter what, Lucy listens when she's having a crap day and I've helped her and made her feel better. And that is all I've ever wanted. So thank you so much, my darling, for getting in touch. And anyone else out there, if you want to send me a DM, I want to know everything about anything about you, what's going on in your life. Tell me all about it.
I'll Marry You is a podcast by Olivia Colman. The music is Mr. Sunnyface by Wayne Jones, and the show is produced and edited by Drew Toynbee.